What's your pleasure, sir?
The podcast.
Take it. It's yours. It always was.
Welcome to A Taste of Hell. Now playing Hellraiser Retrospective Series.
We have such sights to show you.
With Jacob, Stuart, and Arnie.
Demons to some, angels to others.
All aboard to the train to hell. This is Stuart.
This is Arnie.
And this is your host, that strange, surreal, and nightmarish, Jacob.
And two movies in, we are hellbound in our Hellraiser franchise.
Can't believe it took only 1 year for the entire series just to go to hell.
And yeah, you might be speaking literally, but let's hear a clip from the show and we'll see how the quickie sequel turned out.
So we start with a flashback or an orgiastic montage of carnage. And as I mentioned last show, that was my first entry into Hellraiser. Now that you guys have seen it, you see why my fragile little mind was warped?
Oh, yeah. I mean, starting that image of Larry's face stretched out saying Jesus wept is perfect. It's such a grabber. I mean, you're either in or you're out at that point. It's extreme.
So you're saying show people the opening montage of this film to decide if they want to actually see Hellraiser.
Yes, I think that definitely is true. A lot of people can go with the lighter slasher films, not realize that this franchise, at least in its inception, had darker aims. It's more perverse. And that's all to the touch of Clive Barker.
Now, what we watched is the unrated cut. It's kind of funny. The MPAA said that scenes that were allowed in the first movie under an R rating weren't allowed in this one because they were too intense. And so Barker has always hated the R-rated cut. Christopher Young, Tony Randall, everybody hates the rated cut. So really, it's the unrated cut you're able to see. But like Frank exploding wasn't in the theatrical version, but it was in what I saw that one day on VHS.
Yeah. And so they run us through, basically, if, in case you had forgotten, Kirsty sent all the Cenobites to hell, and more importantly, she had a boyfriend named Steve, who's going to be released from the hospital and not in this movie.
He never returns.
The best decision of the entire film is not to bring Steve back. Thank you. I don't even care where he went.
Yeah, they discharged him a couple hours ago, and she's going to have a new love interest this movie, which, to me, these two films form a duology. The fact that the script says this movie takes place 2 hours after the first, you could view it as a full thing, and it makes Kirsty look really fickle.
Yeah, but before we get back to Kirsty, we get an origin story. I gotta bet this is gonna be expounded on. We see where Pinhead came from.
Yeah, this was a really nice grabber, too. I mean, the clip reel was just for people that hadn't watched Hellraiser in a year or more.
Short-term memories, because it's only been like a year.
Exactly. And you might have been stoned when you first saw it and not remember details. But now, yes, once we get through that catch-up, yeah, nice symmetry. This was the grabber of the first movie, watching someone open the box, and now we get to see another character who's so dorky looking, I don't realize until they're driving nails in his face that it's a Pinhead origin.
Yeah, what I take away from this, because we see it looks like some old-timey British explorer, that's my interpretation, and I'm thinking opium dens, where he had Frank, he was into drugs and sex, so I figured that this stuffy British chap is playing with the box, it's because he's got to be into heroin or something.
The subtitles tell me the radio broadcast is in Hindi. That was a surprise.
We will discuss this more in future films. There was supposed to be more here. We were going to get more of this human Pinhead around the time of the 20s or 30s, post-World War I, pre-World War II.
Okay, that was my question. I'm like, I don't think this is World War II.
No, he's supposed to be a World War I veteran.
Yeah.
And he was stationed in India, you know, under British rule, which is why you get that wonderful hat that to me will always be Spaceballs.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking Explorer, but I guess he's a military guy. And the big question for me, when he opens the box, it looks like right away he's having the nails put into his head. He's becoming the Cenobite. That didn't happen to Frank. Frank got tortured and pulled apart. So I'm wondering, and I I'm not going to get it in this film. Why do some become Cenobites and some get torn apart like Frank?
They're setting it up for the reality show, Renobites. Wouldn't this be awesome? You take these uncool people and then give them goth makeovers. I would just enjoy that. I don't even need a plot or the rest of this movie.
So are you saying the more square you are when you open the box, the more likely you are to become a Cenobite? Okay.
Totally, yes.
I'm going to get some glasses, put tape around it, nerd out.
Think what they could do with Mike Pence.
Oh, no. That is a horror.
Oh, boy. I'd actually like to see Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, just some square-looking people by the end of it. Yeah, because he's certainly scary by the end of this. And I knew, you know, in my first viewing, once the nail started going in, oh, I'd seen this guy before. And I think I did detect a little smile there. He's mostly screaming, but there did seem to be a smile of pleasure on his face during some of the nailing as well. So they're still straddling that idea that this extreme sensation can be both heaven and hell at the same time.
I love his line, ah, the suffering, the sweet suffering. I mean, I think it's the darkness in your heart and your level of perversion where basically you open the box and you're judged. And you're either judged worthy of being a subject or a Cenobite. And we also don't know exactly how much time passed. To us, it's immediate that we see the hooks come in him and the nails go, but we do get some shots down the corridors of what would later find out to be hell. This process could have taken place over quite some time.
And we're going to find out, going back to this hospital with Dr. Chouinard, I think he becomes a Cenobite by the end, so we're going to see a little bit of that process.
Absolutely. We're also going to see Star Wars alum Gold Leader here.
That's even too deep for me.
You didn't catch Angus McGinnis?
No, you probably have his autograph, though, don't you?
I do, actually.
Who are we talking about, this homicide detective?
Yes, he is Gold Leader from Star Wars.
Oh. Ronson.
He was in Rogue One, even.
Huh.
But because they used footage from him from 1977. Oh, okay.
They brought old footage, yeah.
They should have used more footage of him here. It's a weird setup that, all right, we're going back to Kirstie. Let's just get that over with. They could have made a Hellraiser 2. New people have the box. We have entirely different concerns. They can act. You know, there's so many ways to just wipe away what wasn't working in that first one. But this is a very direct continuation. Hours later, Kirstie is now, she was pretty much for the second half of the movie and the first time around the star. Now she is fully the star of this movie. That is not a direction I wanted to head in.
I think she's a better actress in this film. I think that her experience on the first film has given her some confidence, and I like her performance here. I like her being back.
Really? I don't know what's worse, the line or the delivery of, "My father didn't believe in fairy tales either. Some of them come true, Mr. Ronson, even the bad one."
Well, that's the writing of that line. Nobody can deliver it well. You didn't do so hot yourself right there.
Well, I wasn't trying. I was trying to emulate your favorite lead here. But no, I feel like she's real flat again. And her concern in this movie will be trying to save her father, who isn't in this movie at all. A strange choice.
Not a choice that they made. Andrew Robinson did not come back of his own accord. Now, I did read a draft of the screenplay a couple before the end because I wanted to see what Peter Atkins had in mind before the budget was cut and when Andrew Robinson was returning. I'll talk about it, but having read the script, if I was Andrew Robinson, I wouldn't have come back either.
If you want to hear the whole show, it is available right now. You can go to nowplayingpodcast.com, click the banner at the top of the page. It's going to tell you how to become a gold level donor. And that is going to give you not only 5 Phantasm podcasts that have already been released, but Hellraiser and Hellbound Hellraiser 2. And in the 7 weeks to follow, the continuing misadventures of Pinhead and the Cenobites and whatever they can scrape up for those Hellraiser sequels.
Yeah, it can only get better from here, right?
Yeah.
That's why there's 9 of these films.
There are 9 levels to hell, I believe Dante said, and we're going to hit all of them.
So just click the banner at the top of nowplayingpodcast.com. It's your donations that keep us going week after week. And we'll be back on Totally Free Tuesday with our review of Death Wish 4, The Crackdown. We'll talk to you then.
Not so soon, are you?
Miss this retrospective series, and your suffering will be legendary, even in hell.
This isn't for your eyes.
It's not hands that call us. It is donations.
Oh, come. Oh, you can hear its faint echo right now. I'm here to turn up the volume.
Your financial support keeps this show going for eternity.
Why resist? You love this as much as I.
You will find more pleasures and sweet, sweet suffering in the Now Playing Archives. You can satiate your appetites with reviews of Leprechaun, Child's Play, Phantasm, and so many more.
Feel free. Explore. We have eternity.
For the insatiable, join the Podbean campaign and get exclusive movie reviews, including Clive Barker's Lord of Illusions and Get Out. A link to our Patreon page is at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
Still hungry? Ready for something that screams?
The Hellraiser Films. All audio clips and music used are the property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended.
Hell is more ordered since your time, Princess, and much less amusing.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with the Motion Picture Review or otherwise referred to herein.
I know your fear. I hear it.
The trademarks Now Playing and Now Playing Podcast are the exclusive property of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Oh, you suffer beautifully. But I am here for business, not pleasure.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
The eternal refrain of humanity. Pleading ignorance, begging for mercy. Please help me, I don't understand.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2017. All rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.